Thank you, everybody. Oh boy, that's the first time I've heard my voice in a microphone ever. So that's, just gonna say, tonight's kind of a evening of firsts for me. You know, it's the first time coming up and being here with everybody, up behind the pulpit, that is. And kind of the first time getting all dressed up. I was going to say this is the first time I actually tied my own tie, but that just did not happen this evening. That kind of fell through the wayside pretty bad. But we ended up making it work. And I've already been asked this evening if I was nervous at all. And of course, there's always the little bit of nerves. There should always be when you're preaching God's word. But for those who don't know, this is definitely not the first time I have preached God's word. In fact, I was a pastor of New Beginnings, which then became Open Road Fellowship. It's a long story, don't ask. But I did that for a couple years. I was the interim pastor in the end before the church finally closed down. What was funny is as I was going through and preparing everything, I save all my sermons on this little notebook here. And the last sermon that I had saved and preached was April 29th of last year. So we were almost 11 months. So you can say it's the first time I've preached in almost a year as well. But see, that's the thing about firsts, is they can be a little nerve-wracking. The first day you go to school, the first kiss always throws people off. But God has blessed us in the sense that once we have our first, then it just keeps going on and on and on. And we end up with our memories. We end up with these life events that change us completely. They take us and they make us who we are. There are those who would say, the past is in the past, forget all about it. But that's not what God wants. There is a reason our pasts have so much importance on our future. And it was actually really funny listening to Lawrence last week, and we talked about what he's going to be preaching on. And it's kind of piggybacking off of what Candy was saying when she had the word sacrifice on her heart all week. To summarize this morning's service, that's exactly what Rick was talking about, was sacrifice. Lawrence, in a couple weeks, is going to be preaching about the future, moving forward. As a believer, where can we have our leaps and bounds in our maturity? And what really hit me is as I'm sitting there, I'm going, God, right there, working. Because I'm talking about looking back at our memories and our life events that God has blessed us with. And it's just truly amazing how God works. Pastor had asked me to cover for him tonight, a couple weeks ago. One of the hardest things when you're doing any sort of pulpit supply is, okay, what do I preach on? What do I talk about? I've got a bunch of friends who are pastors who always have told me, hey, when you're doing pulpit supply, do the pastor a favor. Find out what the greatest need in that church is, and there you go. That'll cover you. So I'm telling you right now, that's not what I asked Pastor Rick. He didn't say y'all have bad memories or anything like that. But I hit my knees, and I just asked the Lord to open my eyes and my heart and to go, what do I need to preach on? What word do you have for me to speak on? And you're going to laugh, but I got it from Instagram. Y'all can, I begged forgiveness, but that's where it came from. It was Instagram, of all the stupid things. But God uses everything, does He not? He can use anything and everything, including social media, unfortunately. But if He chooses so. Was scrolling through, and a TV show that I used to watch with my grandfather was, I hadn't seen it in years, but it came on as I was scrolling through Instagram. And I'm going to pick on my Canadian friends, because that's where it actually was from. It was a comedy show, The Red Green Show. It was actually halfway decent humor for me. It wasn't bad. But it brought me back 20 years ago. My grandfather, after his wife passed away, my grandmother, came to live with us. Years and years and years ago, my grandfather was a floor layer. His main thing was linoleum. All the hospitals in the Bay Area, he did all the work. Did that for years and years and years. He had this work van. Well, he had many work vans. Most of them gutted. Most of them duct tape and baling wire holding them together. But he ended up completely gutting one of them. And he put this recliner. He's telling us this story. He put this recliner in. But he had one that had the wheels on it. So he ends up taking my mother, who's a young child at the time, and his wife, my grandmother, and they went to visit family up in Elk Grove. Now, Mom knew that when Grandpa or Dad gave it a little bit of gas, you got to hold on to the captain's chairs, because otherwise that seat's going flying out the back. Grandma didn't know that. So he's telling us this 20 some odd years ago. He tells us the story. He's in Elk Grove. Mom's in the passenger seat. Grandma's sitting in the seat between them. She's just rocking away. And if you've ever been to Elk Grove, this was a long time ago, jumping on the 99, it makes a giant loop. Well, you gotta give it a little bit of gas to get on that on-ramp. All my mother can remember were the eyes that were bulging out of my grandmother's head as the recliner hits the back of these two panel doors. And Grandpa yelling, "Jill, don't you let her come up here, she'll kill me." My grandfather tells us this story. We're sitting there watching TV one night, and it's the Red Green Show. The very same night, and what is one of the skits? Red is building his panel van, and he's got a recliner because he's got no seats in the back, and they guns it, and one of the guys goes flying out the back. The amount of tears of laughter and joy that we had from that moment is something I will never forget. It changed me forever. It's always going to be a part of me. And that's what God wants us to remember as well. Tonight, we're going to be going through a little bit of Joshua chapter 4, if you have your Bibles. We're going to be going through verses 1 through 9, and then 19 through 24. And before I begin, I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for all that You have blessed us with. We thank You that we're able to come together this evening to learn and grow more in You. And I just pray, Lord, that the message tonight always remains on our hearts, that we never, ever forget who You are and what You have done for us. And I lift this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean, passed over Jordan, and the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place, where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the twelve men, whom he had prepared out of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. We jump down to verse 19. And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time coming, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us, until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. The Israelites have just gone through wandering through the desert. Here they have been delivered out of Egypt. They cross over the Red Sea. Moses sends his spies in to go and look and see just how the land looks. To come back and say, It's perfect, and it's going to be easy because God is with us. Joshua and Caleb. The rest? Oh, no. These guys are way too big. They look like the Dream Team from back in the 90s. We don't stand a chance. And God goes, No. The people rise up. They side with the ten. And God goes, None of you are going to cross over save these two. we get to this point. That whole entire generation has passed on. Moses is no more. Joshua is in charge. They get into the Jordan, and God goes, take these and build yourself a memorial. One over here, one right in the middle. He doesn't say, okay, you're crossing over, now's the time, take them all out. No, he doesn't say that. He says, remember this. Do not forget this. Don't forget what has happened. Don't forget where you have come from. But most importantly, don't forget who's beside you and who is leading you. And you might be thinking to yourself tonight, well, Josh, you're talking about memories. I don't remember this whatsoever. I wasn't there. And yeah, you're right. If any of you say you were there, we need to talk a little bit. I'm just saying. No. You see, what you hold in your hands, what you pick up, I pray day after day, multiple times, is somebody's memories from before you. I had this funny picture in my head as I was writing these notes up and just praying on it. You know how many people would really think that Joshua and Moses and the Gospels, Old Testament, New Testament, the whole Bible, that there was a stenographer with them the whole entire time? And there were people who, that's their argument against the Word of God. These are somebody's memories. This was written down after the fact. Joshua wasn't sitting there writing down everything as God was saying it. You're reading somebody's memories when you're reading the Word of God. That's why it's so important to take a second to step back into your own memories. You see, we can focus so narrowly on moving forward that we forget that God is with us. And that's why God has blessed us with both good and bad memories. The first thing I want to cover is the good memories. It's kind of how I always talk to a customer when I'm telling them I'm fixing their equipment. And I always go, you want the good news or the bad news first? Well, tonight we're going to start with the good. The first thing I want to talk about, reading out of verses 21 through 24. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us, until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. The Jordan is ripping at this time. You're not crossing over this easily. Think of the Mississippi. It's huge. It's wide. It is going to take you from point A to wherever point B is and where it decides. But God once again, like he did with the Red Sea. He, and only he could do this. He parts it for them. He dries and makes the way for the Israelites. And it's in telling the Israelites to make these memorials. These are important markers to remind them and to remind us that God is with us. That is what our good memories are about, is that God is with us. And God tells us multiple times in Scripture to remember this, remember this, remember this. You go to the Passover in Exodus chapter 12, verses 24 through 27. And ye shall observe these things for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. He's taking them out of Egypt. This is a good thing. This is something that these people should never, ever forget. Pharaoh, at this point in history, is all powerful. He is the biggest leader and king at this point in human history. And God goes, watch what I can do. And don't forget it. We have so many memories written down in Scripture for us. But we have other ways of memorizing things, do we not? Today, Palm Sunday. It's a holiday. It's not just stones stacked up in a certain way. It's not just a picture or an altar. We have holidays in this country, which I'm going to try and say this as quiet as possible because I don't want certain people in Washington to hear me. There's a couple days on the calendar that we take off that still have God involved with it. Christmas Day. Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. It's out of Isaiah 7:14. We have holidays that we can celebrate to remember God being with us. Next Sunday, we have Easter coming up. Luke 24:1-9. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. You can tell I'm a little tongue-tied on that word. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Which seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. The women had memories of Jesus speaking to them, telling them what he was going to be doing. And they had that rushing, overwhelming realization. God was with them the whole time. 100% man, but 100% God. Next Sunday night, we're having the Lord's Supper. Why do we partake of the Lord's Supper? Just out of tradition? Just out of fun? Luke 22:18-20. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Next week, when we partake in the Lord's Supper, if you are simply doing it out of tradition, which there are a lot of churches who will once a month, once every other week, partake in the Lord's Supper, if you are doing it simply out of tradition, I ask you not to. We do it out of remembrance of what he did. But now I have to ask you, what made all these good memories so good? What makes something taste so incredible? You have to compare it to something. You cannot have the good without the bad. Or as my football coach has always had to tell me, you can't learn to be a good winner until you've been a good loser. Well, unfortunately, I was a much better good loser than I was a good winner. But that's a different. That's different. But we go back, and I want to talk on the bad memories as well. As we're reading through verse 22, Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. The kids have asked, What do these stones mean to you? What happened? Well, God dried the land up. We were able to walk across this perfectly fine. The kids are going to stare at you and go, there's a thing called a bridge. You could have went further down and just crossed. And what's so great about one side compared to the other? If you don't explain the bad that has happened, then the good doesn't matter. You can share the gospel with people. Turn to Jesus. He's this. He's that. Wonderful. And then you get the one person who goes, my life's pretty good. I've got all the money I need. I've got all the friends I could want. I've got all this. I've got all that. Oh, well, if you've got all that, then yeah, I don't know why you need Jesus. You miss the part in telling them that all have fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. You have fallen short of the glory of God. Guess what? There's one guarantee in life. I used to say death and taxes, but I know too many politicians nowadays who don't have to deal with the second. And there's a few politicians I wonder about the first as well. Death is inevitable. It's going to happen. And there's two places you're going to end up. You have to talk about the bad to make the good so good. The bad memories that we have, that we look back on, and we go, I just don't want to deal with that. I just want to pass over it. Whereas the good are these wonderful markers of God is with us, the bad are these painful markers reminding us of God's greatness. What made the Passover so important? They were slaves. If you just pick up in Exodus in 12, like we were just reading through, and you just read through that, and you go, wait a minute, God's killing all the firstborn who they didn't have the blood over the lintel and the door. What? Context is king. Read the whole thing. They were slaves. They were beaten. They were driven into the ground. That's what made the Passover so good, was because of the bad that had happened. One of the things I wanted to talk about this evening, got till quarter after, right? I'm trying. So many of us believers will talk about our life before Christ. And it's a scary conversation that I see happening all the time. It's almost as if some of us look at our life before Christ as a good thing. We look at the life we had before we were saved, and we almost want to sit there and relish in it. And that's the thing about these bad memories, is that's not what God wants of us. He does want us to move forward, but He doesn't want us to sit there and go, Well, I used to be a drunk at a bar. This is what I did. That was Friday night. That was too. He doesn't want that. I was typing everything up yesterday. And I got a phone call from my younger brother. Most of you here don't know the relationship I have with my younger brother. He's 3 years younger than me. The first time he got high, he was 9 years old. I can't tell you the amount of times I found him overdosed in the kitchen floor. I can't tell you the amount of times I found different things in the house. Had to chase people off. It was hard. My brother, for years, ended up on the streets of San Diego. And he finally got picked up one day. And he spent better part of a year in jail in San Diego County. And he ended up getting clean and sober. Now, I still pray for his salvation day after day, but the fact that he's sober has been huge. And he calls me yesterday. And he goes, "Hey, just so you know, I'm doing this. I'm a secretary for different NA meetings. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm on step 9. What's step 9? I don't know. He goes, "It's time to make amends." And he goes, "I'm sorry." Now, there were a lot more words used in that because that's the way my brother is. But I told him, "I forgave you years ago. I forgave you the same way God forgave me. But it was all those bad memories that me and him discussed that just made it tears of joy. It just made yesterday so much better than I ever could have imagined. But we need those bad memories, and that's why God has allowed us to go through these things. To remember how great He is." Sunday night, October 8th, 1871. Pastor Dwight is preaching a sermon. Long time ago, way before any of us were around. He's preaching a sermon in Chicago, Illinois. Church is packed. It's 2,500 people. As they finish up, Pastor Dwight does not call an invitation at the end of the service. He's just given a service over Matthew 27, verse 22. "Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified." Pastor Dwight closed his sermon saying this: "I wish you would take this text home with you and turn it over in your minds during the week. And next Sabbath, we will come to Calvary and the cross, and we will decide what to do with Jesus of Nazareth." He closed the service. They sang a closing hymn. They didn't even fully get finished with the hymn, and the fire alarms start going off. Sunday night, October 8th, 1871, was the start of the Great Chicago Fire that burned for 3 days and killed hundreds of people, destroyed everything, including the church that Pastor Dwight was in. And it affected him for the rest of his life. Pastor Dwight, full name, D.L. Moody. He never, ever